The last two Sundays, we've heard about the Apostle Peter in very different contexts. Last year, we hear Jesus praise Peter and give him the keys to the kingdom. And officially, in a way, placing him at the head of his church. And then today we see, just a few verses later, Peter's downfall. He receives some of the harshest words that Jesus has for anybody in the gospel. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, you're an obstacle to me." So Peter's one of the most important figures in the gospel, and it's good for us to reflect on his life. Peter just came up in conversation the other day when I was with some recent graduates from Holy Trinity who go to the University of Mary, and today they were leaving for to study in Rome for a semester. So I said to them what I always say when I hear someone's going to Rome. I tell them to pray for me at the holy places, especially at the tomb of St. Peter. And I said, and I don't want some generic prayer. Like, I want you to say my name, Father Matt, at the tomb. Specific for me. So, it's just thinking about how from the first days after Peter was crucified and his disciples buried his body, his grave became a pilgrimage place, and Christians would secretly go and pray there. And they would continue to do this for a couple of hundred years until Christianity was legalized in the early 300s, and then the Emperor Constantine built a basilica on the site of the tomb, because there were, by this time, so many pilgrims who were coming to venerate the tomb, and Constantine wanted to provide a place of hospitality for them and a proper place to worship. So the first basilica of St. Peter was built then in the early 300s. Now, that basilica has been rebuilt and enlarged a couple times, most recently in the 1600s with the design of Michelangelo and the present basilica that we see now, which is immense. But in the middle of this past century, in the 40s, they renovated underneath. They did excavations underneath the basilica. And part of the purpose was to try to get to the tomb, to see where the tomb was, if the tomb was actually there. And in their renovations, they got to a spot that was underneath the present main altar of St. Peter's. And they uncovered this stone marker. And on the stone marker, there was inscriptions dating back to the earliest centuries of the church. And the inscriptions were like, "Pray for us. Peter, pray for me." And then in a niche in that marker, they found bones that would have belonged to a man from first century Palestine. They did all of these tests on it. So it's pretty likely that was the tomb. And today you can go and visit those excavations and get very close, actually, to the bones of St. Peter, which is a moving experience. And since the first centuries of our church, this is what people have done. They've made pilgrimage to Rome to pray at the tomb of the apostles, but especially at the tomb of Peter. So what makes Peter a saint? We really get a beautiful view of him, a portrait of him in the Gospels. There's so many Gospel passages that have to do with Peter, starting with one of my favorites, which is in at the beginning of Luke chapter 5, when Jesus is speaking to some crowds on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he wants his voice to be able to project better to this big crowd that's gathered. So he asks, he doesn't ask, he gets into Peter's boat. And Peter and his brother Andrew had been washing their nets at the side of the sea. They'd just gotten back from fishing all night. And so Jesus rather boldly just gets in Peter's boat, and interestingly, Peter lets him. And then Jesus tells Peter to put out a short distance so that he can speak to the crowds. And again, interestingly, because Peter's been up all night at this point, and he didn't catch anything, so he's probably not in the best of moods. And yet, Peter takes Jesus into his boat, puts out a short distance from the shore, waits until Jesus is done with his teaching, and then Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Now put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." And at this point, Peter protests a little bit. He says, "Well, I've been fishing all night and I caught nothing." And in his mind, he's probably thinking, "And I'm the professional here. So I actually know when the fish are going to be biting, when there's fish to be caught. And if they were to be caught at this time, I would be out there catching them." But again, so interestingly, Peter does what Jesus asks. It's like from that first encounter, there's something about Jesus that really attracts Peter, that kind of breaks some barriers down within us, that makes him very open to him. So sure enough, Peter goes out into the deep water, puts down his net into the water, and the fish slam into the net. And so Peter's pulling up this net into the boat, and now the boat is in danger of sinking because it's being filled with fish, and they have to bring over another boat to carry some of these fish. And it's at this point that Peter realizes that he's in the presence of the divine. He's witness to something very mysterious. And this is when he gets down on his knees and he says, "Lord, leave me, please, because I'm a sinner." So we see here also Peter's sense of his own unworthiness. He doesn't feel like he's worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. What does Jesus say back to him? "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And that started this friendship as Peter would be part of the 12 who would accompany Jesus throughout all of his ministry in Galilee and in Judea, spending so much time with Jesus. And they would become friends. And that friendship would lead to faith. That's what we saw last week in the gospel when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Jesus responds back, or Peter responds back, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Jesus says back, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter again answering on behalf of the 12, because he's become the leader of the group, he says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's when Jesus says back to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." What's important here is that we see that it's the friendship that Peter had with Jesus that led to his faith. This is good for us, important for us. Sometimes we might feel like, "Gosh, I'm just like, my faith is so weak. I just don't know if I believe." And I'm sure the disciples felt that many times, even though they were with Jesus. So what did they have to do? Well, they simply had to stay with him and allow their friendship to continue to grow. And it was in that context of personal friendship with Jesus that Peter was able to make that courageous profession of faith. And then it was then his faith became like a rock upon which Jesus would build his church. So we get many aspects of Peter's personality too as the Gospels continue. We have that scene on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus is transfigured before his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And Peter's so impressed that Jesus is is shining like the sun, and Elijah and Moses are there, and Peter kind of stupidly says, "Lord, let's build three tents so we can all stay here." And that's when the cloud descends upon them and the disciples become very fearful. Peter is zealous, he's impulsive. During that scene in the garden when Judas the traitor comes to hand over Jesus, Peter's the one who cuts off one of the servant's ears who's in attendance there. He responds to violence with violence. Peter's very protective of Jesus, and that's what we see during that scene. Here too, in today's gospel, another misstep of Peter, but he's trying to be protective of Jesus, because what's Jesus talking about? The necessity of his own suffering. And Peter doesn't want to hear anything of it. Why? Because he loves Jesus. He also believes that Jesus is the Messiah and that the Messiah shouldn't have to suffer. So this is why Peter says, after hearing Jesus say that he has to suffer, this is when Peter takes Jesus aside and says, "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." It's good for us to see Jesus, or Peter say this to Jesus, and it's good for us to hear Jesus' response back, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an obstacle to me." Because I too often tell God what is best, even when that's different from what God's will is. Sometimes I'll say to God, you know, I would be better off if this would happen in my life. Or if this would change in my life, I'd be able to serve you better, God. Or our parish would be better if this would simply happen. As if I know better than God. It's good for us to see that that's a misstep. It's also good for us to be reminded that suffering is always going to be a part of our journey towards the resurrection. It was for Jesus, it will be for us too. And it was for Peter as well. If we think about what happens in the rest of the gospel with Peter, we have that scene in the Passion where Peter denies knowing Jesus. This is probably the low point of Peter's life and relationship with Jesus, where he's so filled with fear that he says he doesn't even know Jesus. He sins. After the resurrection, then Jesus would find Peter along the Sea of Galilee. And what does Jesus ask Peter three times? "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" Every time Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep," Jesus says back to Peter. It's like Jesus is giving Peter a chance to reconcile with him by three times affirming his love when he had denied him previously three times. After Pentecost, we see a tremendous change in Peter. He goes from cowardly often, from impulsive, imprudent, to a real bold proclaimer of the gospel. That's what we see in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter really boldly proclaiming Jesus. And eventually Peter would end up in Rome as the first bishop of Rome. And there's a tradition, a legend, that as the persecution was getting very severe, Peter decided to flee Rome because his life was in danger. And as he's leaving the gates of the city, he sees someone that he knows pass by and walking back towards the city, and he recognizes that it's Jesus. He stops and says to Jesus, "Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord?" Jesus turns to Peter and says, "I'm going back to Rome to be crucified." And then he disappears. There's a church, actually, that you can visit right outside the city gates of Rome. That's called the Church of Quo Vadis, where are you going? And there, in the middle of the pavement of the church, there's a footprint, and that has been venerated for many centuries as the place where Peter turned around and walked back into Rome to be crucified. And it was in Nero's Circus, where the present Basilica of St. Peter stands, that Peter was indeed crucified, like his Lord, but he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same posture as Jesus, so he was crucified upside down. It's interesting because among the bone fragments that were found in the tomb, believed to be that of St. Peter, no feet bones were found. It's because the way that they would have nailed Peter to the cross, they would have had to take off the feet in order to get his body down. So, Peter, in today's gospel, we see him expressing frustration that Jesus is saying that he would have to suffer. In the Passion, when he denies Jesus, we see Peter avoiding that suffering himself. But what does the new life of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost give Peter? It inflames his heart with love so that he wants to suffer with Jesus. He wants to bear the cross with him. That's what we see in the Quo Vadis tradition, all the way back to Rome, to be crucified out of love. So we can relate to Peter in so many ways, and even today we can ask that Peter would pray for all of us. We pray that our own friendship with Jesus would be deepened, so that our faith would be deepened, and so that we'll be willing to suffer the crosses that God gives us in his life as a way to unite us to Jesus, so that we can live out today's gospel when Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it."